Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes, and it'll help us make Twit even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey.
How to be an iPhone Ansel Adams.
Oh, wow. Plus, the sweetest words in the English language. Pitchers and catchers report.
And I will show you a Belkin bedside charger for your watch and your phone.
It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/iOS today. And by Automatic, the connected car company that improves your driving and integrates your car into your digital life. For more information, visit automatic.com/twit and enter the code TWIT to get 20% off your purchase. And by Headspace. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/iOS. I want to point this out right at the beginning here. I'm posing. There will be no bear mauling on today's episode of iOS Today. I'm sorry.
How can you be sure?
Nor are we in Dolby Atmos and HDR. I can't be sure. It could happen. It could happen, but I think it probably won't.
I think you're referring to the Academy Awards that I didn't
The
watch.
Revenant. You didn't see the movie.
Oh, The Revenant
either.
Had bears in it? I'm sorry. I work all the time on finding the best iPhone and Apple Watch and
really
iPad tips.
Attention.
I don't have time for movies.
What's
I don't have
on?
Time because I'm here finding the best iOS stuff for you.
Thank goodness somebody is, because I'm busy watching movies and going
all right,
TV.
Well,
today we're going to do photography on your iPhone. Of course, many agree the best camera on a
mm-hmm.
smartphone today.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't, but many agree that.
And you have another camera too, so you know.
I just got the new Galaxy S7, and I haven't taken any pictures with it, but it looks to be in many ways even a step ahead. But of course, it's a seesaw battle between Apple and the other camera phone manufacturers. Apple owned it for so long, starting really, you know, probably 2010. The iPhone camera was just so much better than anybody else, and that was an impetus to companies like Samsung and LG and Nokia to create better camera phones. And Nokia started it with a 41 megapixel PureView camera, and they've gotten better and better. They're all using, the interesting thing is they're all mostly using the same Sony sensors as the iPhone, but Apple has done so much in software, and that's really, I think, the secret sauce on Apple's iPhone.
Yeah. And then we just saw that rumor in Mac Rumors that the next iPhone 7 might have even fancier cameras in it and be like an iPhone Pro. That's just rumors. But
we've been seeing a dual camera setup for the next generation. The iPhone 7, not the one announced this in March, but the iPhone 7 will have two cameras. And there's all sorts of things you can do with a dual camera. You can use one for distance and depth, and you could maybe have or you have multiple focus ranges. There's all sorts of things, and I'd be very interested what Apple does. But what's really clear now is that it is about software. It's about the processor in the iPhone. They really spend a lot of silicon, actual hardware, on making a better camera in the processor. The software you're using, the secret sauce, the great engineering that goes into it. And then, you know, I'd be very curious to see what they do with dual lenses. But we're talking about today's iPhone, the 6S
Plus.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I just want to start with the most basic tip, which is lighting.
Lighting.
Lighting. The more light, the better. That's what I say, right? Like, light, light, light.
You know what I carry around? Because lighting is so important. Besides this.
But in your man purse.
Well, one of the reasons to carry a European carry-all
man purse.
Is to have more room for fun things, right? And one of the things I carry is a little iPhone Lite, believe it or not. But like most man purses,
or any purses, too.
I have so much stuff in here.
I'm going to have to dig around. So while you're looking for that, I mean, just basically, if you ever have the choice between inside or outside taking a photo, I always say outside.
Yeah. Digital photography particularly has difficulty with what we call low light. Low light is inside. It's just, you know, I mean, it's not just like one candle, but anything inside is much lower light than the sun. The sun is a great light. But you can use the camera on-camera flash, the on-phone flash. The problem with that is that's so close to the lens, it's bouncing right into the eyes, and it does two things that we don't like. One is red eye. That's why you get red eye, is because the flash is so close. But the other thing I don't like is it flattens everything. It's just and you've seen this. Now, the iPhone does a good job as best it can with on-camera flash. But a better way to do it is to get the flash off the camera. And that's what this is. And Andy Inoko told me about this. This is the cube from Lumen. And it's a light cube. Now, close your eyes because it's very bright. Everybody at home, close your eyes, too.
I know. We did this the other day, and I still...
You already saw this. Mm-hmm. It can tie to the iPhone via Bluetooth and flash when you take a picture, or you can use it... Now, look at Megan, because even though she's far away, you can see that makes a difference. Mm.
The perfect selfie light.
Light from the side is much more flattering than light from the front. It doesn't flatten you out. It gives you more dimensionality. It makes you it makes wrinkles stand out. It makes your nose bigger. It gives you all the look. No, it does give.
Yes.
I mean, if news anchors use what we call eye lights, this is way too bright, and the camera's not auto irising because we turn that off, you know. But
yeah,
that means the camera's not adjusting. But news anchors will use eye lights that are aimed right at their eyes, because see how that gets rid of the bags under my eyes, it flattens out wrinkles.
Yeah.
But you don't want it in your whole face because that's not good. You want it right on that eye. This is not what I'm recommending because this is an awfully bright light. I mean, the fact that I can get all the way to you 5 feet away, and by the way, that is the court order. I can't get any closer.
That's why we're down here in the living room instead of upstairs.
So that's one thing to do is have, and this is about, what, $70 or $80? It's not very expensive. There it is,
the Loom Cube.
So that's one solution is to actually, and I do carry this around because I want to have that kind of single source side light. I think that gives, you know, another way to do this is in your house, if you are going to shoot inside, open a window. And some of the best pictures I've ever seen, portraits, are of somebody sitting near a window. Have you ever tried that? And the daylight is coming in and it is suffusing them with light. And there's some modeling to their face. There's some texture. It's not just all being one big flat piece of flesh. That's what you don't want.
The other thing you don't want is to miss the action. So.
And that's hard because, camera phones typically are slow. You got to launch the app. You got to point it, the focus. Fortunately, that's one thing the iPhone excels at.
Yeah, so we have Force Touch. So you have, that was the biggest seller for me, the emergency selfie you need to take.
Get that in front of, I can show you too. But
so there's take a selfie.
So you Force Touch, you press, if you have an iPhone 6S or 6S Plus, and it just goes right into the mode you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you're never going to miss that moment, that selfie moment.
Or record a video, record slow-mo, take a photo.
These are the four things that people do most, I guess.
And, of course, you probably already know this, but when your phone is locked, you can also take a photo just by, my phone's not locked. Just by swiping up.
Yeah. So, in fact, you even see when you turn on your locked phone, there's a little camera icon down there. Sometimes there'll be another icon. Like when I'm near a Starbucks, there's a Starbucks icon there. That's kind of like a quick access feature. So yeah, you just swipe up from there and look. How fast is that?
That is great.
You're not going to miss. That is really one of the things Apple still does better than anybody else. It gets you into the camera and taking a picture very, very fast.
Sometimes I've had some problems where I'm holding the phone and I can't reach.
Thumb.
And you know, the Plus is big. So you can also take
a
photo.
Those are some nice shoes. Where'd you get that picture?
That picture? Those are your shoes, Leo.
Oh, my gosh. They never looked so good.
Yes. That's an app that I'm going to show you in a second.
Okay.
But let's say you can't reach, you're holding. You can just use the volume button. The up, well, of course, you can't take a picture with your finger.
Isn't it funny? Because Apple didn't want anybody to do this. In fact,
they didn't?
Our friend Lisa Bettany released one of the best camera apps ever, long-standing Camera Plus. And that was one of the things Camera Plus did, was allow you to use the volume button. So now it's like a regular point-and-shoot camera. You press the volume button. And Apple made them pull the app. They pulled the app from the App Store and made them take it out. And then, like a couple of generations of iOS later, Apple went, yeah, that's not such a bad idea. And they built it in. I think Apple didn't want anybody to reassign buttons because it might confuse people if they didn't expect it. But I was sad that they took it out, because that's exactly what you want, right? This is a button. Why not use that?
Yeah.
You can use it as zoom or take a picture, right?
Is that the case? I don't think I can zoom with it, no, but I can
use
just take
so
a
many
picture.
Different programs.
No,
sometimes
you can't
I forget.
Zoom, but up or down takes a photo, but no zooming.
Okay. So some apps will let you zoom with the volume.
Maybe. Yeah,
control.
Maybe that's... So yeah. You mentioned Camera Plus. Brian from Cleveland writes, saw your recommendation for the Hipstamatic app.
I love that.
I also see it's no longer free. We talked about it a while ago. Quick question. I saw an app called Camera Plus. Any thoughts on the app?
Oh.
Don't know if you know much about it, Leo.
A little bit.
Looking for an app for my iPhone 6S that will give some manual controls. I know that's more of an Android thing, but heard good things about the app. So
yeah, and they keep updating it. I mean, this was the best-selling camera app for the longest time on iOS. Lisa Bettany helped to design the filters and so forth. In fact, if you look at the Camera Plus listing on the App Store, there's Lisa, mostly Lisa. It has an Apple Watch app. It's from TapTapTap. It is free, but it has in-app purchases.
It is free?
Oh, maybe it's $2.
It's $2.99, I think.
Oh, they went up. So they've gone through different phases with Camera Plus. Now, one of the things that's key with Camera Plus is the pictures are not going to go to your camera roll. They're stored within Camera Plus, which some people find a disadvantage. I think it's an advantage because it means that you can take pictures that are kind of private. They don't automatically get uploaded to iCloud, to the photo library, or if you use Google Photos. And so you can take a bunch of pictures and then pick the ones you want to share. I also like this. This is an exposure zoom, I'm sorry, and then there's also an exposure control. You can tap what you want to have in focus. So this has a lot of features. And then, and again, this is something Apple has added. So it's not so special as it used to be, but they have built-in filters that allow you to filter the picture as you're taking it. I think this is a very nice app. And even if it costs money, they were doing it for free for a while, and that was 99 cents when it first came out. They have the volume snap feature, the zoom, the grid. The other thing that's great is you can turn these on or off as you want, so you don't have to have all of those features on if they get in your way. There's even a full manual mode, which sounds like our correspondent wants full manual control. So absolutely, if you haven't installed Camera Plus, that's probably the first thing you should install.
Yeah, that's $2.99, and with some in-app purchases for more.
Right, filters and things. Yeah.
But worth it if you're going to...
Absolutely.
If you want to go beyond...
Fortunately, I took the picture before she did that weird face.
Oh, good. if you want to go beyond. So what do you think of Hipstamatic?
Hipstamatic traditionally has all been about its filters. Mm-hmm. It's all been about filters. Filters are everywhere now. Yeah. I mean, even Apple does filters now. And, of course, Instagram made them very popular. But this was the first, I think. As you can see, they've updated it a lot. And one of the things that made it hipsta, right, is that they had filters for Lomography and weird cameras that hipsters like, Polaroids, Instamatics. So some of the effects make it look bad, but intentionally bad, right? Some might argue that most filters make your photos look bad. I think filters are fine. And, in fact, filters can sometimes take a picture that's kind of indifferent and make it much more interesting. So they've added some new features like this robo glitter. That is wild.
I think, here are some Hipstamatic photos that I took.
Look at that. That's beautiful.
That's just a melon.
What? I thought that was the Great Barrier Reef.
It's a melon, and that's another filter on Hipstamatic.
Same melon, different...
A cantaloupe. That's just the iPhone.
That's kind of
cool.
So
not bad, but cool.
But not as fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something... By the way, go back to that last one. This is driving me crazy. The Apple Watch takes screenshots at seemingly random intervals.
Yeah.
I think it's something I'm doing, or you're doing, swiping it.
Well, maybe we... I think it... Okay, so
But that drives me because my photo library is filled with screenshots of my Apple Watch. I don't want them.
So a screenshot, you
press... Is it a swipe?
No, both buttons.
So maybe my cuff is doing it.
You're just like going like that. And I, just
I do that a lot.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm immediately sharing on iCloud all those personal details, like the degree of, you know, the weather. And
like your battery level.
So here's a little live
photo. Nice picture
photo.
Of our front of our building.
That's just the iPhone camera.
Yeah.
Then here's Hipstamatic. Hipstered it.
Some of them I don't like.
Do you like that one?
Yeah, that's kind of neat. See how it's blurry on the edges and then centered on the, so it's kind of a little bit of a... kind of lens blur effect. I like that.
I mean, and this is that, just...
Black and white's great.
It just, I didn't have to choose these. Like, with Instagram, it's just like, you get tired of going through. It just gave me these. Ooh, I like that one.
Ooh,
like
high contrast black
noir.
And white. Yeah, noir.
I don't love filters, so I don't love choosing them, but I like just when it chooses it for me.
And they do I think I made it an app cap not so long ago. Cinematic, is that it? That's their video... Hipstamatic for video, which I also really like.
Yeah.
So,
I kind of feel like I'm a little bit of an Ansel Adams there. Anthony, can you show that one? I'm pretty
proud
of it.
My God, that's award-winning.
Isn't it?
That is award-winning picture.
Bleak in the chat room is recommending Snapseed.
Actually, stop it. That's my recommendation.
Oh, sorry.
There's two apps everybody should have if you're a photographer. Snapseed is one that's free from Google. And they bought a company called Nik, N-I-K, which professionals and many serious amateurs know made the best photo plugins for Photoshop and Lightroom. They bought it. They reduced the cost on the professional plugins. But Snapseed really is the crown jewel. That's a free app that can do anything. It can straighten. It can crop. Of course, it can filter. It can edit. It is a dark room in an app, and the fact that they're giving that away really makes it wonderful. The other one I think you should look at, especially if you're a Lightroom user, is Adobe's Lightroom. It's a free download, but you really want to be using Lightroom on the desktop as well. It'll automatically synchronize your pictures, your collections. And now Lightroom lets you take pictures inside of Lightroom, which is actually not a bad thing to do. I'm going to see if I have it on here. I have a whole Adobe folder.
So does Camera Plus sync with Lightroom? Is there a part of Camera Plus called the Lightroom?
There's a part of Camera Plus called the Lightroom. Let me log in before we... you keep
Lightbox.
Talking.
Lightbox.
Yeah, that's... Lightbox is where Camera Plus, instead of the camera roll, stores its photos. It's a Lightbox. And that's so you can mess with them before you end up putting them on the camera roll. You can then save to the camera roll. Mm-hmm. A lot of apps do that. Does Hipstamatic? I think Hipstamatic does that, right? It saves it locally, and then if you want to put it in the camera roll...
No, it saves it automatically.
It saves it to the camera roll?
But there's probably a setting that you could change... to not save to the camera roll.
A lot of apps do that. In fact, I think early on, that's all you could do, right? So let me see if I can get my Lightroom photos up here.
Well, I'll give you another tip while you're looking for that. Take as many photos as possible. Like, use burst mode, which most people already know is just holding down the main power button, the button to take the picture. Just hold it down for burst mode.
Absolutely.
Take as many as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cloud is... Google Photos lets you store as many photos as you want.
And you can tell Apple not to store every image from a burst photo.
Yes.
So if you're worried about storage on the iCloud, which is not unlimited, just turn that off and save the best one, right, from the burst. It's really for people, taking pictures of people you want to do burst, because just with you, I took that one picture, and then you moved, and it would have been nice to have three or four and pick the one that's best out of those. So I always use burst for portraiture. Yeah. All right, I'm still logging in.
Okay, I have another email from Mona about photography. She says, I found it interesting that you spotlighted phone lighting when I just recently have been considering buying this phone case called the Lumi.
Yes.
Available at Lumi.com.
That's a Zag.
Zag.
Zag, yeah.
Co-founder of Zag. The Lumi is a patented phone case with its own front-facing LED lighting system, ideal for FaceTime, selfies, Snapchat, Periscope, and all other social media. In artificial or low lighting.
It does have the same issue that I have with the Apple built-in flash, which is that it is on camera. But because it's a ring like that, it's much more flattering.
And
so,
the Kardashians love this.
Really?
They're all about the selfies.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian, I love my Lumi case so much.
Man, I guess it's a, if you take a lot of selfies.
It's a selfie world these days.
It's a selfie world.
It's all about the selfie world. Well, it's...
I should post more selfies, shouldn't I?
Yeah, of course, because, people can't really see you very often, except all day long.
I know,
on this
right.
Network.
They don't see enough of my face. I might have to try that. Now, does it drain your iPhone battery?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to contact Lumi.
So I've signed into my Adobe Cloud. By the way, this Lightroom is great on the iPad. In fact, I highly recommend it on the iPad, especially the iPad Pro. It's a great way to do triage. We've talked about this before, if you use Lightroom on the desktop. But if you're using Lightroom on the iPhone, let me launch that now. Here, go back to my Adobe folder. I have a whole folder. There's so many Adobe apps now, they've earned their own folder. It will synchronize up with your Lightroom, and it will give you all of the pictures that you've added to...
Just waiting for something. There we
it's
go.
Down here. My eyes are down here. And so I can actually look at an image, edit an image, improve an image from that. But this is the new feature that Adobe's just added to Lightroom. And this is why you might want to put it on your iPhone as well as on your iPad. It has a camera built in. And the camera has some nice features, including built-in filters. So is you can see what a black and white... when you're doing black and white, sometimes it's just a little hard to think about what it's going to look like as opposed to an actual color shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helpful, especially when you're first doing black and white, to have the camera set to black and white.
Doesn't the Photos app do that too?
Will it go... I guess it will. That's part of the new filters, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know, actually. I don't think it does.
Yes, it does.
Oh, it does.
It's in the filters, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. It does.
And when you shoot in Adobe Photoshop, then it immediately goes to Lightroom immediately goes into Lightroom and the Lightroom editing tools. They've added to those as well. So I think this is, if it's free from Adobe, and if you use Lightroom, you don't have to use Lightroom, but if you use Lightroom, it really is a great, additional tool that you'll probably take to because you're familiar with the Lightroom tools and all that.
I definitely think noir is your best filter.
I am a noir kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sham Spade.
Ooh, that was
baby.
A good one. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can
show that
baby.
One. That's good.
They call me.
Do you have any other
Caesar.
Apps or tips for pro or
I have
hobbyist?
Nothing but apps and tips. One thing I'd recommend if you are a serious photographer, most cameras now have an iPhone app that allows you to do two things. My Sony cameras do this. The new camera I just got does this. Canon cameras and Nikon cameras do that. Get the app. You can often do two things. One is pull off pictures from your fancy camera right onto your iPhone in the field. That's great for Instagram, social media, because it's right there on the phone. It's not going to be the edited version. It's usually taking the JPEG from the camera. Sometimes if your camera's not making JPEGs, it'll take the thumbnail image that you see on the back of the camera. But it may not be the best image, but the immediacy of it is very nice. But it also allows you to control the shutter in most cases. So a lot of cameras, you have a shutter release so you can get off camera and not shake it when you're taking a picture, or it's on a tripod. Or you're with your family and you want to get in front of the camera. The remote control features of most of these camera apps is great. So absolutely check to see if you have it doesn't have to be that fancy, some point in shoots even. If you have a camera that you use for most of your pictures, take a look and see if there's an app for it, because that really is a nice adjunct. I love being able to pull pictures off of my Sony and instantly post them to Instagram. Often, believe it or not, I'll take them right off the Sony camera, edit them in Snapseed, post them in Instagram. Some of my favorite photos, that's all I ever did. I never did anything on the desktop.
And don't forget also if you want a timer and you have an Apple Watch, your camera app on the Apple Watch.
The timer is great.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
and that gives you remote access.
Yeah, remote.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So if you have the family, you can get in front of the camera. People don't put their iPhones on a tripod, but I guess you could lean it against something.
Sometimes we've shown tripods.
I've seen people do that. It's a little
weird.
Have
you seen the MacBook selfie stick?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
That's something that whose time
has
come.
We don't want to encourage.
I think.
No. We don't. I don't personally. You might want to encourage it. I don't want to encourage it.
I want to encourage that. More selfies from your MacBook, I think. There it is.
There it is. Mm-hmm. That's got to weigh something, right? That's actually a laptop. That's all. That's
yeah, the MacBook.
That's MacBook Air. Oh my God.
We're not talking about
I thought
iPad.
You meant the iPad.
No. No. Uh-uh.
That's insane. That woman must have four arms the size of Popeye. Holy cow. Wow.
But she's going to
They photoshopped out the weightlifter holding the thing up. Shimini Christmas.
So, right. Do you have anything else, or should we move on?
I could go on and on. As you know, I'm kind of an avid photo buff mm-hmm. because you know why? I feel like there's got to be one app just around the corner that'll make my pictures look good.
Your pictures
look great.
I keep
looking.
Your pictures look great.
My favorite picture I ever took, which is a beautiful black and white image of Lisa and her son in the hot tub and they're cuddling. It's to me, this is the best picture I ever took. I don't want to say anything, but that actually is edited on an iPhone with Snapseed. That's how I made it black and white. So really, the tools now are out there.
Yeah.
And they're on your mm-hmm. iOS device.
The tools are out there. We learned from the X-Files.
That's right. Mulder and Scully knew way back when. Should I talk about my doorbell? Is this a good time to do that?
It's also my doorbell. I mean, we don't live together.
I just heard it.
I have the same doorbell that you do.
You know, it's so funny. Everybody now in the studio has the Ring video doorbell. Mm-hmm. And when the doorbell rings, everybody goes, what? Is that mine? No, it's yours. This is so great. This doorbell, speaking of cameras, it has a high-def, very wide-angle camera built into it. It'll replace your existing doorbell, wired or not, by the way. You don't have to have a wired doorbell. Very easy. I'm no handyman, as you probably know. But I was able to install this very quickly and simply because it comes with everything you need. All the tools are in the box, including a level so you can make it look good, a drill bit if you need one. You probably won't, screwdriver. And, of course, the Ring video doorbell. Now, the doorbell is cool for so many reasons. First of all, if you wanted to add a doorbell, like you're an apartment dweller, a lot of times they have that thing that you turn that rings. If you wanted to add, like, a real doorbell where there is none, this would work because it's got a lithium-ion, you're good for a year, lithium-ion battery in it. You can recharge it, and then you can buy, like, the Ring Chime, which plugs into your wall, so it'll ring in your house. But the best part about the Ring video doorbell is it rings over the Internet. So my phone, my tablet, everything ring, whether I'm home or not. So one of the reasons I got this is I never can hear the doorbell chime. We have, I think a lot of houses do. Mm-hmm. It's old. It's been around for a while. It goes, donk, donk. Does your chime really go, dong?
No. We didn't donk. Have, until we got the Ring, been broken for ages. But
this is the replacement you want for that broken doorbell.
Yeah, it rings on your watch, too. It
rings everywhere. Mm-hmm. I had to turn that off. My watch was buzzing all the time because, well, people drop off packages at Ring. So you don't even have to ring the doorbell. It's got a motion detector. And you can keep an eye on that package, which is nice. If somebody comes up on your porch for any reason, you'll see video of them. You can talk to them. It's got a speaker built into it. Hey, what are you – get away from there. What are you doing? It's really a security device, a great gift for family, the friends. My mom should absolutely have one of these because – she wants to know who's at the door, right? And this is so much better than a peephole. You know who's at the door. You can talk to them. If you're at work and the UPS guy comes with a package that you really, really want, which happens to me all the time, I can pretend I'm in the shower. Oh, I'm in the shower. Just drop that. I'll sign for it next time. Sometimes that actually works. Get your Ring video doorbell right now. Ring.com/iOS today. You see, it's great at date time. People love it when you show off your Ring video doorbell. Oh, and here's the bad guy. See, what he's going to do is he's going to ring the doorbell, see if anybody's home. If nobody is, it goes around back, breaks in. But see, even if you're not home, you're always home with Ring. Hey, what do you want? Yeah. Oh, sorry, wrong number. I'm going to go down the street now. Yeah, you better, because I'm in here with my Doberman Pinscher. Bye, dopey. And you don't get robbed. See that? He goes with his tail between his legs. And by the way, if he did break in, I'd have great video. We have a number of viewers who've shared wonderful stories with me about how successful they've been in prosecuting bad guys with their Ring video doorbell. Ring.com/iOS today. Free expedited FedEx shipping. It'll be the last shipment you'll get that you won't see who's dropping it off. Ring.com/iOS today.
All right, well, let's get – we have one big piece of news. We reported the rumor that the new Apple event was going to be March 15th. Now they're saying it's going to be March 21st instead of March 15th.
Weirdly enough, the day before the court responds to Apple's pleading on this Department of Justice versus Apple. Do you think there's anything to do with that timing?
I don't know. I mean, it would have surprised me if they did like a big event at the Moscone Center, you know, with
I think they're going to talk about it.
I don't think they're going to do that.
You think they'll do this little event at Flint Center?
I think they'll do the, I don't know. I was thinking maybe it's like, on campus in Cupertino. And then also talk about this.
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to do with the court decision. I think that's a coincidence. But I think they wanted 5 extra days, and here's why. I think they do want to talk about, you know, iPhone encryption. And I think what they wanted to do is see if they could announce, and I bet you they do on the 21st, that they've improved the encryption so that no matter what happens tomorrow in the court case, future iPhone owners will be protected. Because we heard, didn't we hear the story that they were going to work on an iPhone that they couldn't ever, you know, give law enforcement what they wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Although I bet you there are people watching right now, and I know most of America agrees, who say that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
They should give up that information and make it easier for the FBI to investigate. It's a debate we need to have.
Yes.
We really do. Is this device, and we talked about it last week, but I'm going to say it again. This device, which holds so much information about you, your location, it's got a microphone and a camera, your life is in here, and you're carrying it around where it's easily lost or stolen. Should Apple give us a way to keep it absolutely secure from anybody, and most importantly, from bad guys? Or knowing that if they made it possible for law enforcement to get in here, it wouldn't probably stay with law enforcement. It would probably leak out and become available to malefactors. Should that be built into law? And it's going to have to be Congress that's going to decide this.
Yeah.
It
should be.
Yeah.
People we've elected to make this decision. Not
you know, they've
mandate.
Declined to do so in the past. There was a law passed in 1994, I think, called CALEA, the Law Enforcement Assistance Act, that was for telecommunications company, for the phone companies, saying you have to provide whatever assistance you can to law enforcement for wiretaps. They have attempted in the years intervening to update CALEA to include digital manufacturers and digital telecommunications devices because law enforcement doesn't like it that it's hard for them to see what's going on in here. The real point is not to keep it from law enforcement, I think. The real point is if you gave the keys to law enforcement, would it stay private? Would somebody have access to your device? And that's the conversation we need to have. Fortunately, in the past, when CALEA 2 has come up, Congress has said, you know what, we're not ready to do that. There are issues, and I think it's become very clear that it's really about public safety, as Tim Cook said.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand we want to protect ourselves against terrorists and bad guys of all stripes. But at the same time, the public safety interests, people are putting everything on here, shouldn't have some protection.
Yeah. I mean, you could really see him in the ABC interview appealing to, you know, he seemed exhausted answering the same questions over and over again.
Right.
And he was making those appeals to regular people, the kind of, you know, people make fun of. It's for the kids. But just pointing out that so many parents use Find My iPhone with their kids. So it's all your personal information. And it's actually
and
the whereabouts
location.
Of your children at that moment.
Yeah.
So as much as, you know, you can make fun of it, it's for the kids kind of. But it's true. And I think it probably did appeal to people who maybe hadn't given that much thought.
I think the real debate is going to center on, is it possible to give law enforcement access without giving bad guys a tool? And most technologists feel like any access you give law enforcement inevitably will leak out. And, you know, we know that the federal government has a very hard time protecting us as it is. Look at the IRS. They just upped their estimates. They said last year, 100 hackers got 100,000 tax returns. Mm-hmm. Now it's 700,000.
Mm-hmm.
They can't preserve our own data in areas where they know it's vital. Your tax return has everything about you that a bad guy would want. If they can't protect that, then I think it's safe to say giving them keys to this is not a good idea. But that's what the debate's going to come down to. Can law enforcement protect this information, if you know, the keys to the kingdom, if they were given it?
Mm-hmm.
Apple obviously feels not like they can.
Well, let's move on to some force touch. We talked last week about force touch, and you never use it because you don't. So many apps don't use it. But more and more apps are using force touch, so I thought it would be fun to just go through some of them.
I love Force Touch. And as new apps add this, I think we should make this a regular feature.
Okay. So, you know, every 3 or 4 months...
Something new.
I start using my Fitness Pal again.
That's me too.
That's where you can...
great app.
Write your... put down every calorie that you consume. I don't use it regularly because it becomes obsessive.
I have so many entries for breakfast. I start the day going, I'm going to log my food today.
Yeah, and then I
And then lunch, and I don't.
So if you can, I'll show the Force Touch. So you can scan a barcode really quickly. You can log your food, log your weight, or search restaurants.
Oh, this is good.
Just so, yeah,
log I'm going to go back to it. MyFitnessPal's always been the best.
And so Force Touch, really.
Nice. Thank you, MyFitnessPal.
Yeah. Let's see what else. Camera, we went through that. Slack has no... Oh, music. I don't know if we've talked about that. You can search or play what you most recently played. I guess I haven't played anything recently, but you can search really quickly in Apple Music. That's a good one.
Twitter has it. Slack has it. I love... Not Slack. Swarm. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Slack does
I love Swarm. Do you do check-ins?
I don't do check-ins, no.
I'm always checking in. And so Swarm, really, there's only one thing you want to do. They could have up to 4 actions, but they have one, which is... check in, and I'm going to check in right now at the Twit Brickhouse Studios, where, let's see who the mayor is, Anthony Nielsen, but it is Leap Day, by the way, happy Leap Day, and I get Leap Day William on here. Oh, I'm sorry, Patrick Delahanty's the mayor again. God, you guys go back and forth, don't you?
Do you use the NPR One app?
Oh, I love NPR One. Does that have a Force Touch now?
Force Touch to play the latest news or to search for something.
We call it 3D Touch. I'm sorry. I said Force Touch.
Oh, 3D Touch. I think it's... Yeah.
Force Touch is on the watch.
3D Touch. Sorry. It's 3D Touch.
Google has added it to its Google search, as has Bing.
Yes. We talked about Bing last
week. Quick search, voice search, image search. I'm feeling curious. Not I'm feeling lucky. I wonder what I'm feeling curious
does. We did that last week. It just gives you a random piece of trivia.
Oh, I should have watched the show last week. It's just, why do they call it the Green Monster?
Nice. I don't know. So the Chrome app is a little bit different, and that has a new incognito tab.
That's good. You should use that if you want to surf privately.
Or voice search like the Google app.
How about this one? I mentioned last week my favorite weather app is Weather Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Really pretty app. When you force touch it, you can choose which city you want to see, or you can add a location if you'd like.
Oh.
So that's nice. I can quickly see what the weather's like in Newark, because I always want to know that.
The App Store, you can search or redeem a coupon code. App Store.
Nice. Fantastical shows me my next appointment.
Oh.
I can add an event, show reminders, and search.
Waze is a good one, too.
Waze. Got to love the Waze.
Wait for 3D Touch to drive home.
And it knows where your home is, right?
Drive to work, send my location. That's good. Search address. Drive home. I like that.
Drive, she said.
My favorite one always is add a contact. Here's just to call your favorites.
Yeah.
But when you on your contacts, just to add one really quickly is nice. Because sometimes when someone's like, oh, I'm going to give you my number, and then you just want to.
Do you use Pinterest?
Pinterest?
Oh, Pinterest? The ladies love Pinterest. You can now do trending, search pins, or create a board.
No, I don't love Pinterest.
Okay.
Wunderlist,
our favorite task manager.
Add a to-do or see what one of my do's. I'm a strong force toucher. What about maps? Oh, yeah. Mark my location, directions home, send my location.
I feel like all of Apple's apps should do it. Weirdly enough, Settings does not. Thank goodness the App Store does. You can quickly search or redeem a code. They do a good job with that. You can actually take a picture of if you have one of those cards. It's really nice.
Photos shows you 1 year ago, the photo you took 1 year ago.
Oh,
that's a nice
little.
So if you want to go down memory lane real quick, hopefully it's appropriate. Yep.
So do what we do. Touch everything.
Google Maps rolled out a update on iOS. Now you can add pit stops. A couple years ago, I wanted
to... Wait a minute. Say that again?
You can add pit stops.
What's a pit stop?
I want to go from
multiple
home
destinations
to work, but I have to stop at my kids' different schools, and I have to stop at the post office, and I have to stop at, another place in the grocery store. So it gives you the route.
That's a lot better.
Yeah. So that's on Android, good. But now it's brand new on iOS.
That's
so
nice.
Update your Google Maps, if Google Maps is what you use to get around.
Hey, that's kind of cool. I use Y Things, the Y Things scale, the Y Things blood pressure monitor. And the Y Things app now will do a 3D touch, will give you your most recent blood pressure, your most recent weight. If you're using their activity monitor, give you your most recent activity. That's kind of cool, isn't
it?
That
is good.
Yeah. Nice to keep track of those things.
Shall we spend a minute or two talking about AMP?
Google AMP?
Mm-hmm. That launched last week. So
it's out. It's out. So how do you use it on an iPhone?
It shows that the results show up. So let's
see. You do a Google search.
Let's look at iPhone 7. Let's see where are my amps?
Yeah, it depends. Not everything you do.
Usually news is what gets amped.
Here, I'll do it on the iPad. Let's see. Search for things. Like I search for Academy Awards, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because I was, and no spoilers here. If you haven't watched the show, well, why not? So what will happen in your search results, Google, it's really, to me, this is it's an interesting shift. Because it used to be when you did a search on Google, you'd get this stuff, right? Pages. But now this is below the fold. This is actually, the search results aren't even the first page of things you get. Here's the winners. This is what they call the knowledge graph, right? So if you search for something that there's information, the winners will show up there. And then this is what you call the amped stuff.
It doesn't say amped next to it?
It should
say
amped.
Last week it said amped. Now it's not.
Maybe Google's responding to criticism, because one of the things I didn't like about that is these results are the results people see and are most likely to click. Mm-hmm. The results down here are the actual search results, And so it depends on what you're searching for. Let's search for Obama and see what we get, because they'll be – or actually, you know what would be even better? No, let's search for Obama, because I was thinking about Trump, but I don't know what you're going to get. So, again, this is this deck used to be, but I think it still is, AMP results.
But it's not telling you.
It's just not saying it, which is a little bit annoying. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to a page that's AMPed, and I know, for instance, the New York Times is, they've chosen to offer their web pages in two different formats, the traditional HTML format and this new Google-supported format called AMP, that's designed to load faster. So if I tap this,
the page
loads a lot faster. Now, you're supposed to see a lightning bolt, so I don't know if that is an amped page or not. You will normally see a lightning bolt. I'll tell you another way you're going to benefit from AMP is with the app, and we've talked about this before, called Nuzzle.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nuzzle. It's
love
my
Nuzzle
news app.
Too.
And, I'm not signed in. I'll do it on my I use it on my iPhone. Nuzzle is an app that takes your Twitter and Facebook feed and gives you articles that your friends are talking about. And it will use AMP. Oh, no, please, I don't want to do that right now. It's trying to get me to log into Facebook. It will use, I know, cancel. It will use AMP if it can, if AMP is available. So these are top news stories. And that's not AMP. Look how slow that's going on mobile. AMP is really mostly about mobile. That's the key. Here's a, let's see, I'm going to find an AMPed article. I think the Post is doing it. I should see a lightning bolt. The Guardian is amping, right? There we go. Did you see that?
That's fast.
You got to look at it. And it loads so much faster. It also doesn't have, and this is the real point of it, it has ads, maybe, but it doesn't have the really annoying ads that we've seen so often. And I think, truthfully, this is what Google's responding to. Of course, part of the reason people use an ad blocker is because they want pages to load faster. And Google's saying, well, pages should load faster. This one should be amped. And, I'm not seeing the lightning bolt as often as I used to.
Yeah, last week when they launched it, it was everywhere.
The pages load a lot faster on Amp, and so you can, even without the lightning bolt, you can kind of tell whether a page. But I don't think this is Amp. And it may be one reason publishers are slow to adopt is because they do want to show, you know, their advertising. There is some advertising allowed. Amp has partners. But the advertising will be much lighter, won't take as long, because the whole idea of Amp is to make pages load much faster on a mobile device. Here, show one more. Let's see if we can get that lightning bolt. This is a New York Times article. Lightning bolt. No, but it did load fast, which makes me think it probably amped. They cache images. They only allow a subset of JavaScript. And so pages, that was almost instantaneous, mm-hmm. you know. And so that is the idea. You don't notice the difference quite as much on a fast Wi-Fi network. But if you're on the road and you're on slower 3G, you will notice a big difference. So, yeah, there's Richard Gingras talking about AMP. We had him on This Week in Google a few weeks ago. And a little bit of a debate, because I feel like AMP is kind of non-standard, but it does work. I have mixed feelings. Anything that makes the web faster is great. I don't like it that Google favors AMP results in its search results. That's the AMP.
Right, those are the little lightning bolts.
Carousel. And that bothers me a little bit.
So Search Engine Land says they haven't. It's not a ranking yet. That they don't favor them, but I mean, they do show up.
No, they don't. Okay, so this is what Google says. If you're a faster page, you're going to show up better. That's fine with me.
But they do show up in that.
But this new carousel is something new, and that, I'm sorry, that favors amped content. So below the fold is all the news sources that aren't amped, mm-hmm. and the on that carousel is the sources that are. That is not okay with me. That is not how it should be. You shouldn't. Yeah. Google shouldn't be in the business of favoring some content over other content.
Well, because it costs money to AMP, and so everybody doesn't have the
money. No, it doesn't cost money.
Well, it costs money to make. I mean,
well,
it
you
costs
have to redesign.
Resources.
Yeah,
like you have to change.
If
your
we
site.
Wanted to use AMP, I'd have to get assign an engineer to recoding. Now, if you're on WordPress, you get it automatically. There's a WordPress a plugin, and mm-hmm. WordPress.com does it automatically. But if you're the New York Times, absolutely, you got to go out and hire an engineer or get one of your employees to redo everything, redesign how you do everything, and offer AMP pages. So it's not the easiest thing in the world.
It's the same with, Free Basics or HTTPS. You know, it's like, it's better. HTTPS is better, but everybody can't do it, right? Like, Free Basics, you have to jump through hoops to get part of it. It's like, we're limiting the web by all of these things.
Yeah, and I just don't like Google using it. This is, in my opinion, classic antitrust law. The whole idea of antitrust law is that a company that is dominant in one area should not be able to use its dominance in that area to enter new areas. Now, Google is probably not a monopoly, technically, at least in the U.S. It might be in Europe. But for reasons I'll never understand, people use something other than Google. But it's dominant enough, in my opinion, that it shouldn't be using its dominance in search to foster other stuff, other businesses like YouTube and now AMP. Now, AMP's not a business, so you could say, well, they're just doing it because they're nice people. But they are using this tool in which they're dominant, search, to promote sites like the Washington Post and the New York Times that use AMP. And sites like mine that don't are down now below the fold. Is that right? I don't think so. That's just my opinion. I do like a faster web, though.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your automatic and my automatic.
Oh, do you use it?
I do, yeah.
Isn't it cool?
I love it. There was a screenshot from my Apple Watch earlier. It tells you how long you've parked in a certain place.
Oh, I didn't know that. So if you have two-hour parking, as we do out front, you will know?
Yes, it tells you.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Here it is, yeah.
I got to turn that part on.
See, it tells you where you're parked and how long you've been parked. That's from my Apple Watch.
2 hours, 43 minutes. You're going to get a ticket, young lady.
Well, that was another day. It wasn't today.
Did you get a ticket?
I did not.
Oh.
Because I was alerted.
Right. It saves you money. Mm-hmm. Think of it that way. Mm-hmm. This actually, one parking ticket in Petaluma would almost pay for this.
True.
They charge a lot of money. So you can use this if you have a car that was made from 1996 or later, which means pretty much every car on the road now, except that classic 58 Chevy. They all have a little diagnostic port. It's just out in the open. It's just that it's kind of under your steering wheel on the dash, and you probably never saw it. But it's right there. You might look at it and say, oh, that's for the mechanic, and it is. But it turns out anybody can add an adapter to this. The automatic adapter will connect via Bluetooth to your phone and tell you so much about what's going on. Not merely what those diagnostic lights are, although that by itself is pretty valuable. You know, those little blinky lights go off. I kind of know what they mean, but my daughter goes, I don't know. I was driving around. I saw that oil can light, but I didn't really know what it did. So then the car stopped working. Coincidence? Your teenagers ought to have an automatic. It helps them be better drivers, too. That's another reason I love automatic, because it knows how much you paid for gas. So I'll give you an example. This is my trip to work. I know that, actually, this trip, I don't know where I was going. They combined trips into one day. So last week I spent $4 and, oh, I'm sorry. The shot is not where I expected. Sorry. I spent $4.21 on fuel last week. That's not bad. I traveled a total of 25 miles, spent an hour and 47 minutes in the car. But last week I wasn't a very good driver. I got a score of 66. That's a C. That's a C. And the reason is, and I can see as I look at each of these trips, hard acceleration, 4 hard accelerations, 7 hard brakes. That must have been Lisa driving. That couldn't have. Oh, maybe it was me. 4 hard brakes. See, and so it helps you be a better, more efficient driver, a safer driver. But it shows you the map of your drive. It shows you the cost. You know what? That is really great. Like if you say, I'm going to go to Rohnert Park so I can go to Sam's Club to save 53 cents on this box of toilet paper, and then you find out that that drive cost you 78 cents, maybe that wasn't such a savings after all. And these are real prices because it knows where you filled up. It keeps an eye on the gas prices in your area. I could go on and on. It will, if you have a business travel, if you expense it, it'll automatically keep track of that and import the information into FreshBooks, Expensify, Concur. They have apps. We'll tie to apps for teenage drivers to help them learn to be a better driver. It works with If This Then That. So I can Amazon Echo. So I can ask my Echo how much gas is left in the car, where I left my car, that kind of thing. As you see, it works perfectly with many watches, including your Apple Watch. Now, by the way, go back. Do not disturb while driving.
That's good.
That is awesome. It does require an Android phone because, unfortunately, Apple doesn't allow that the app to do that. But that is pretty cool if you've got teenagers and they're using an Android phone. Low fuel warning and on and on and on. So, normally $100, but we're going to give you 20% off that when you use the offer code TWIT at automatic.com/TWIT. This is just brilliant. This is just brilliant. There are other OBD2 adapters. Somebody was saying in the chat room, I bought a $70 OBD2 adapter and it didn't tell me anything. This is the one you want. This ties to your phone, gives you all this information, gives it to you in a beautiful way. And they're always improving it, always adding new features. So check it out, automatic.com/TWIT. 20% off when you use the offer code TWIT at checkout. What do you learn from your automatic?
I learned that I'm a better driver than you. I got a 77 week. But yeah, the cost and just how many stops you make, the hard brakes.
My score's been going down. I think it's tied. This is part of the new quantified self thing. I think it's tied. The more stressed I am, the harder accelerations, the harder brakes. I kind of take it out of my driving, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing to know about yourself, I think.
All right. Well, we'll compare our scores next week and see if we've improved. Now we have your feedback. Padova on Twitter direct messaged me. I take all DMs on Twitter. I am open. Sometimes,
what?
You know. I know.
You're crazy.
Megan, is there a way to lock individual social apps on iOS, for example, Instagram, like App Lock does for Android apps? Please,
you mean
help.
So you can't install them or you can't use them?
No, so that someone who has your phone who's already can't look at your Instagram. So I did some research on this, and this is interesting. So you can log out of your Instagram, and then you'd have to enter a password.
That's no good.
But I guess on Android, there are all kinds. It's one of those things you can't do easily on an iOS.
Because Apple doesn't give apps that kind of power, very simply. On Android, it's kind of a loosey-goosey, anything goes, toxic hell stew. But on iOS...
toxic hell stew.
On iOS, Apple sets the rules, and the rules are very strict for security reasons. But it does limit some of the things you can do. That we were just talking about, automatic can stop the phone from receiving texts while you're driving on Android, because no app on iOS is allowed to do things like turn off text messaging. It's the difference between Apple and Android, and unfortunately, it's, you know, it's the price we pay, but we get better battery life, we get more reliable, phones, and frankly, we get more secure. I believe more secure phones, because one of the security issues on Android is that sometimes apps can influence the operating system and other apps. Apple sandboxes everything, so it can't get through the sandbox.
So there is a jailbreak, but I don't like to do.
Don't
those.
Jailbreak. Just not worth it.
And I'm wondering also if Padova is a child maybe trying to hide their Instagram from their parents. And
No. You know how that is, and I hate it. You say, hey, I got a great picture of you. You're going to love this picture I got of you. And then you go, let me see that. And you go, let me see what else is in there. Let me go look at your Instagram feed. Let me see what else. People are snoopy. It's the, we were talking about the medicine chest. Mm-hmm. You go to somebody's house, use the bathroom, and look in the medicine chest. People, we're naturally curious.
So you can make it harder for those looky-loos by putting it in a folder or, putting
it,
move it off.
Wish you could change the name.
Yeah.
That's how, okay, another complaint I have about iOS is you can't change the name.
Or the icon.
You can't change the, can you? You can't change the icon. So. I guess you're right. And you can only have one copy of any icon in one place. Mm-hmm. So it's harder to, on Android, I can have, aliases in effect. I can have the icon in several different folders. What can I say?
And there are also...
I think we need to update the, they call this Springboard, the user interface. Mm-hmm. It hasn't substantially changed since 2007. In fact, that's one of the reasons we're so excited about 3D Touch. That's like the first new thing on Springboard in years.
So, yeah, I mean, there are other ways, like restrictions doesn't even work. I know there are some, if you're a parent and you don't want your child looking at your Instagram, you can't really do that either.
Apple's response would, why are you giving your phone to somebody else? Mm-hmm. You're giving them everything.
Right.
Stop. Don't
We're
do
trying
it.
To protect you.
Yeah, don't do it.
So, yeah, I mean, it is a pretty secure phone. So, but past that, once it's open, so password
anything
protect your
goes.
Phone. So we have a voicemail that I think we can play.
Hey guys, just called. It's Laddie Anderson again. I just called a moment ago and I wasn't very clear. Got an Apple Watch, not really satisfied. I will try the second version when it comes out. Do you think they will have a buyback program for the new watch? So if you have a first generation, you can get the second generation. Thanks very much.
Dream on. A buyback program? No. Dream on.
But Tim Cook loves his customers
you might,
so much.
Well, you might be able to. I mean, they do take trade-ins, right? Mm-hmm. And Gazelle does. And you might be able to sell it on eBay. I mean, there'll be places you can sell an old Apple Watch. And the market is strong on Apple Watches. So I think you could probably get at least half of what you paid back for the Apple Watch.
Even when the new one comes out, though. That's the question.
Look, these are very expensive devices. The least expensive is $350, and the new one maybe even cost more. So if you say, hey, you want to buy an Apple Watch for $150, only lightly used, I think you could get that money back.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, so Stuart Andre writes, I know you love Outlook on your iPhone, and I've been enjoying it. However, I want something similar to AirMail, where I could have it on my Windows 10 work computer and on my phone, preferably something that had this news function, which is awesome. Any ideas? So he thought that when we talked about AirMail that you said it was on Windows 10, but I don't remember.
No, it's on Macintosh.
Yeah, it is, but there's
Windows
no desktop.
10.
I did a lot of research on this one, too. So Cloud Magic was the only one I found that even remotely said it had a Windows 10 app.
But wait a minute.
Why not use Outlook?
Mail is mail. So I think that of all the applications, there's not as much pressure to make an iOS app available on the desktop, not even on OS 10, because you have a preferred desktop app. It's the same mail. Right, you're just. It's just. I don't know why you would want that app on the desktop and on iOS. It's such a different environment with touch, and the size of the screen. You should get the best mail app you can find for that size screen. Maybe even use a different one on iPad. I do, and a different one on the desktop, and a different one on Windows 10. They're all just looking in on your mail. Now, you want to make your reminders go cross-platform. That's another issue. Maybe mail's not the best place to put reminders. I would submit that maybe Wunderlist, which is our favorite, one of our favorite task managers, and is completely cross-platform. In other words, you're overloading what a mail client does, and that's very popular now. But I think that maybe is a mistake.
So, I mean, I suggest I did love Outlook, but now I love Inbox for Google.
Well, and Outlook is awesome, but Outlook on iOS isn't even close to the same program as Outlook on Windows 10.
But you brought up Touch, but I mean, Windows 10 is supposed to be Touch. It's a touch operating system.
Yeah, but it's a different. Outlook on iOS is Acompli. They bought Acompli, and they didn't change it a whole lot. Outlook on Windows 10 is part of Microsoft Office, and it's a horrific program with all sorts of features. They're not closely related.
But there's
related.
Not an Outlook app.
It's got the same name.
Right. I know.
That's
it is
all.
Very confusing.
We've no, it's just the same name. Trick. So if you want the same name, well, okay. But it's not. But even then, it's not the same functionality.
So there's no Windows 10 Outlook app.
In the sense of like a...
Like where you can snooze and swipe and do all the...
I think there might be because that's they're trying to make it a universal app platform. Mm-hmm. But no, even if you download it from the Microsoft Store on Windows 10, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's exactly... It's not this. You can't get that iOS app. You can't even get it on Windows Phone, by the way. You can only
get it
on iOS.
So, okay. Well, yeah, Inbox for Google is my favorite, and I use it on the desktop. But you know, his domain, his work email doesn't let
actually,
them use
Inbox.
Inbox
is
for
a
Google.
Good example. Inbox is one of the few things that you can use everywhere.
Yeah,
and it looks the
and
same.
I love
and a
it.
Reminder in Inbox is a reminder across
right.
the board.
And I use the snooze feature, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I do love it.
That's actually what... But his office won't...
doesn't. Yeah, but I mean, our office didn't for a while, too, and then suddenly we did. What happened? I think Russell just gave me...
No. So that's a problem with Google Apps for Work, which is that the Google Mail, Gmail... for an individual isn't the same as Google Mail for Work. Mm-hmm. And you had a Google for Work account. Mm-hmm. And there is a beta program in which we've turned on for anybody who asks for it here at the studios that allows you, if you have a work Gmail, to start using it as if it were your regular email. Mm-hmm. So that allowed you to do that. But that's, and that's something Google's been very slow about fixing. It's
so
a big problem.
So you can't just go to your IT person and say, I want
to. You can.
This.
You can now.
So, Stuart.
If your IT person's cooperative, that might help. So, yeah, so if he's using Google Mail for app for work.
Right, but they might be using Exchange Server or something,
we don't know
then
what
you can't.
Doing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
you need to be using Gmail. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good answer is Inbox.
I love it.
That's one of the few apps I can think of that's the same everywhere.
I love it. It's turned me into the
Gmail
Inbox
too.
Zero ninja that I am today.
Yeah.
I have another email here from Sumed from Massachusetts. It's a long one.
Sumed?
It's got a lot of things going on in here. There's a lot going on, so
I'll
pay
be
attention.
Listening.
Okay. One of the best new features of iOS 9 is picture-in-picture. I use it all the time, especially watching your show. But now the button that you click the podcast app to enable picture-in-picture has disappeared.
Oh, man.
There is blank white space where it used to be. However, if I repetitively click on the white space where the button should be, it eventually enables picture-in-picture mode. However, the button is still not visible. This problem only pertains to the podcast app. Do keep in mind, this is a school-issued iPad with device management profiles. Therefore, what I can do in terms of software restoring the iPad is limited, because if I do that, I will get into trouble. Plus, the school blocks syncing our iPads with iTunes through profile management, so the only way to restore is by entering DFU mode. The school just recently gave us the green light to do the iOS 9 upgrade. Of course, I did it the day it came out anyways. I am a high school student and love watching your show.
I love that you watch our show.
I just love it because, like, you forget that, I mean, reading this, I would never have assumed that this eloquent email came from a high school student.
I know.
Who clearly knows way more about how his iPad works than
smart
the people
guy.
Administering it.
Than me.
The
I'm
picture,
looking at the podcast app.
Picture in picture works for me, but
okay.
I do not have a school-issued iPad.
So that might be that they turned that off. And I can understand why they might want to, because they don't want kids doing their homework watching TV.
Why, yeah, that maybe they just turned it off. That was my guess.
Yeah.
So picture in picture is there, so now I can go about my business and continue to watch you on Twit while I do another show, because this isn't a school-issued iPad. So I'm not going to recommend that Sumed does anything fancy to his school-issued iPad.
Yeah, there's that. You know what? It makes a lot of sense that they would turn that off, to be honest with you. Because I can really see that becoming a problem in school, is that somebody's got a little postage stamp.
Right, that they're watching.
A video. I'm just looking. The judge has just come in with a response to Apple's pleading. This is James Orenstein, who is a magistrate judge and not the judge I thought that they were in front of. And here we go, because this is a victory for Apple. As explained below, after reviewing the facts, the judge wrote, in the record and the party's arguments, I conclude that none of those factors justifies imposing on Apple the obligation to assist the government's investigation against its will. I therefore deny the motion.
So this was another case.
Oh,
this wasn't the,
what case is this?
The case in New York.
This is that's why it's a different judge. It's a similar case. The government seeks an order requiring Apple to bypass the passcode secured in an Apple device. Okay, this is a different case.
But it's precedent, right?
Well, it's very interesting. I imagine the arguments were very similar. It's not a terrorist phone, I guess, but. Yeah, this is a different one. This is a drug trafficker. DEA seized his mobile telephone, an iPhone 5S on iOS 7, and have asked Apple to help them in unlocking that phone. And the judge has now just ruled that Apple is right to say no, and there is no reason to compel them to do so. It's because the DEA agents could not bypass the passcode security. They even asked the FBI to help. So, yeah, this is related, but very, very interesting. And, yeah, I don't know, a precedent in the sense that the federal court that is reviewing this case would listen to a lower court opinion. This is, well, it's a federal court. It's the Eastern U.S. District Court, Eastern District of New York. I'm not a lawyer, but boy, that is kind of what Apple, that's exactly what Apple's hoping to hear in this case against the FBI. None of the factors justifies imposing on Apple the obligation to assist the government's investigation against its will. Those are the words that Apple would like to hear. I will therefore deny the motion. Very interesting.
Yeah, news keeps happening.
News keeps happening. And you know where, if I were going to watch one place, if I were going to go that I would keep up on this kind of news,
where would you go?
Not CNN. Not your local news. Those guys don't know encryption from a hole in the ground,
no.
Although they're very similar. TNT, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Tech News Today. It's all there in the title. Jason Howell and some woman named Megan Maroney, they host that. I'm sure you will be talking about this. And the nice thing is you bring in the experts.
We do.
So we know that you're going to have some expert opinion to talk about.
And we
about
try
this.
To
More
get both
me.
Sides, too, although it is difficult to find someone who knows about technology and is, again, you know, siding with the FBI.
Okay, I am sympathetic to the FBI. I'm not completely.
Yeah, I know. You've been really interesting. So is my husband, unfortunately. We're not allowed to talk about it at home anymore.
Did you get in fights over it?
We disagree about it, yeah. I mean, he's a government history teacher. He has he's just like, the government works the way the government. We need to trust the government.
Was my argument.
Yeah.
I've gone beyond that, because of course Apple will do whatever the court ends up telling them. They may appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court, but if the Supreme Court rules against them, Apple will do it, because we live in a nation of laws. But there is a much more important debate that we need to have, and it's not going to probably be decided by the court. It's got to be decided by Congress and the people, which is, as I mentioned, should we have strong encryption, or should there always be law enforcement intercept capability?
Right.
That's a really important debate, and I don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah. All right, so before we get to our sponsor, I want to say a word about the products that I review. We had a little discussion about this last week, and I want to just make it clear. People don't just send me things that I say, send me anything, and I'll review it. I'm actually going and doing research and looking at different products and then asking Tanya to see if they will send us a review product that I review and then send back. So that's where this Belkin charger
came. It looks like a medical device.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the
I'm not sure I'd want that on my bedside table.
I like it.
Just
you don't
bend
have a
over
modern
and cough.
Yeah. It does. Okay, yeah. So first of all, what's interesting is you used to, all the Apple Watch chargers before were external. They had to hook in. Apple just started allowing companies to make chargers that were built in. So you don't need to buy, you need to use your existing. This comes in one piece. So here's where...
Oh, can you rotate that a little bit if you want to see, not like, the watch, the
this, yes, the, there's a little lever on the back that you can rotate.
Oh, so you could change the angle just slightly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like that.
Change it.
Okay. I was going to say you're going to break your
Won't. No, it's very nice, and it goes into the mode where you can...
That you have to turn it sideways for, right?
Yeah.
That's a little bit
It does also fit that way as
Now,
well.
Do you have to install your charger
you
into
do
that
not.
Thing? It comes with its own little puck.
It comes with its... Yeah. Okay. So I think we have a link. I think it's about $150. It's not cheap. $130.
The valet charge dock for Apple Watch and iPhone.
And so, yeah, I had a viewer email me, say, take a look at this. And so I emailed Belkin, and they sent us this to review.
I actually like the dock because if the iPhone changes, it should still work. It's not It's not like a trough that the iPhone has to fit in. It's just a flat surface with a protruding lightning connector. And that's sufficient to kind of hold it on. I actually like that.
And so if you have the, your band is a little bit different. It doesn't just stay
there. Yeah, you want to try it with my band?
Well,
there you go.
That
that's
little
it.
White thing in
yeah.
there. It's the, you have to put an extra.
You couldn't turn that band sideways, unfortunately.
See, it's got.
Oh, a little holder for the Milanese loop.
Yes. So here's the only thing I don't like about this, and this is personal. I don't like to keep my iPhone by my bedside table.
Yeah, because it shines light in your eyes.
I don't like it when the first thing I do is to check my phone, and the last thing I do, I want it to be to talk to my partner.
You know what I did that actually helped? I have a bedside. It's like a little, it's got drawers. I don't know what you'd call it. It's not a table. It's like a little chest of drawers, but it's a table.
Mm-hmm.
And I drilled a hole in the back, and I took the power in. I put the power into the back, and there's enough clearance between the top of the drawer and the top of the table that I could actually trim it over the top of the drawer. And so I put all the chargers in the drawer, and then I close the drawer, and it's dark.
Oh.
And it's not, it's not quite so accessible. You pull out the drawer, it's going to make a lot of noise, and you're going to rattle around.
Right.
Lisa's going to do like that. So I actually thought that that was a nice little hack.
Yeah, that is.
You can look at your bedside table, see if it has a drawer, if there's a way to kind of trim a power cable into that drawer. So that's what I did. I have a USB hub, charging hub. All I have to do is get one wire in there to give it power, and then everything else can be plugged into that. And I think that's a 5-porter, so there's lots of stuff in there.
That's
charging.
Nice. Your iPad Pro even fits in that drawer?
Yeah, it's big enough. I could put an iPad and I have a couple of three watches. I have a Fitbit that's got a unique charger. And then, of course, 32 phones, I think.
32.
Something
and you
like
just
that.
Got your
33rd. I just got the Galaxy S7, yeah.
So this is the Belkin Valet, and I like it, and they are not a sponsor of this show.
It's pretty. That would not fit probably in my drawer. It might. Be close.
But, this is for people who really want their phone on the bedside table. And sometimes people need to be notified in the middle of the night.
And it can make a nice clock. And if it's on the charger, you could even do that's what this Weather HD that I like so much is designed to be kind of the face that you would have on your phone while it's charging. So it's like a little clock. But you wouldn't want that shining in your face as you're sleeping.
No.
It's more for like a desk. Actually, that'd be a good little desk unit.
That would be.
Yeah.
All right, so who is our sponsor for this show that we can
thank? No one knows. Actually, you might have seen a little bit earlier because I was showing you my health folder. You might have seen the Headspace icon right there in the health folder. That's because I love Headspace. Headspace it's a modern way to do what they call guided meditation. So maybe you've tried to meditate before. You in your head, you think of a mantra, and you got to be silent. This is not that. This is a wonderful man, Andy Puddington, who for years was a monk, knows about the technology of meditation. guiding you through a meditation to reduce fear and anger and stress and anxiety and make you just feel better, sleep better, your relationships will be better. And it all starts with just 10 minutes a day. 10 free guided meditation sessions. And I think you will love this. Headspace is so cool. You can listen wherever you want. It's on your phone. You can put on headphones if you want. Plug it into speakers if you want. It's also on your computer and on your tablet. In fact, that's how I first discovered Headspace, headspace.com on the computer. Then I put the app on my iPhone, headspace.com/iOS if you want to get the iOS app. You know, did you notice that, you didn't watch the Oscars last night. Well, mm-hmm. If you had, you would have noticed that Gwyneth Paltrow, very calm. Jared Leto, very calm and centered. Emma Watson, they all use Headspace. In fact, 5 million users find peace through Headspace. You can see Andy, if you want to see his TED Talk and learn a little bit about it, he's had 5.5 million views on that thing. It is wonderful. He knows his stuff, but he also makes it accessible. It's not all airy-fairy, ringing the chime, you know, everybody now. It's awesome. All I can say is it's free. Try it. Headspace.com/iOS. And if you're like me, kind of a hard-headed scientific type, you can refer to literally thousands of scientific studies that show meditation has positive effects on focus, on relationships, reducing stress. We all have stress in our lives.
I'm a huge fan of Headspace. When I have had my phone by my bedside, I have...
Yeah, Lisa does that to go to sleep.
Yeah, like, or first thing in the morning.
Or get up and do it.
Instead of checking Facebook, I'm going to do my Headspace. Yeah. And I also get Apple Watch notifications.
It's time to relax.
Yeah, so here's one. It just gives you a little... It says it's easy to get blasé about being alive, to get too caught up in our thoughts, but meditation reminds us of this simple and beautiful...
And Andy has such a nice little English accent. And he says it... when he says it, you just go, I feel good. I feel good about myself. Thank you, Andy.
He doesn't pressure you. No pressure.
No, it's really sweet. I love it. Headspace.com/iOS. You should try it. You will be a better person. You won't be so cranky.
Mm-hmm.
And you might wear dashing hats.
That match your iPad Pro case.
No, I feel like you got my hat and I got your hat.
Nope. This is mine.
I feel like there's a mix-up at the hat factory.
Nope.
Really?
Absolutely not. Nope. Why?
Why ever would you say that, Leah?
All right, this is the point of the show where we wear hats because it's the App Cap segment.
It's our way of honoring the best. Mm-hmm. The best.
Can I tell you what my favorite app is this week?
Yeah.
Art Authority.
Never heard of it.
Recommended by a viewer. Art Authority... Just pretty much any art you want to look at, it's there.
Mona Lisa, are you smiling?
It's really like a virtual museum, and the iPad Pro is great for this. So you can just scroll through.
Oh, it's like you're in a museum.
Yeah.
The Three Graces, mm-hmm. Some Naked Chick, The Last Supper,
mm-hmm. The
God and Adam.
Creation of Adam, I believe this one is called.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So if, let's say you want to see art like this, you just click there and then you can see more.
More of
like
God and Adam.
More art like that.
More of naked. Oh, look, that's a zoom in on that.
Yeah. Okay, so here's, it's your
Oh,
like
the girl
museum.
With the pearl earring over
any,
there. That's nice.
Artists you want to see or any era you want to see, Impressionism, modern, contemporary, American, what would you like to see? Where do you think the least?
Edvard Munch.
Okay. Let's get back to...
I don't know. I don't know. I made it too hard for you.
Well, there
He's
is
an
a
expressionist.
Search. There is a search.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Munch.
Yeah. Oh, there you go, Edvard. Oh, good old Edvard. You know who I really love?
Who?
This happens to me all the time. Frank Stelling, I was trying to remember his name. He did the Brooklyn, but you could look up Brooklyn Bridge, and then you would see Stelling. Or you could look up Stelling and you would see Brooklyn Bridge.
Stelling.
I think it's Stelling. Boy, I hope I'm right. Frank Stella. See?
So
wouldn't
you don't
have found
that,
but thank
right.
you.
You don't have to be right.
I love his stuff. He's wonderful.
Yeah. So you could see it full. I think I could.
I feel like we're in a gallery.
Yeah.
with beautiful people
really,
standing.
If you're doing any for schools, this is amazing. So art real size. It's not, you know, the actual size, but you know, and you can scroll in.
Ooh, so you can see the brush strokes. Yeah. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I love this.
I have a confession to make.
What?
I went to the Van Gogh Museum and I touched a painting.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, let's look at a little Van Gogh.
Oh, I love Van Gogh. Not, you see, if everybody did that, the painting would be bad, would wear away. But I couldn't resist. I wanted to touch something that Vincent had touched.
Let's shuffle all artists.
And I couldn't believe in this museum that they just had a Van Gogh, like out, and you could touch it.
But you could touch it?
Well, nobody arrested me. I know. No, you weren't allowed to. The guard wasn't looking. I didn't touch it hard. I didn't like pick a flake of paint off of it.
Finger oils are affected.
I know. I made sure that it wasn't oily when I did it.
No, I'm just going to ignore you that you said that.
I'm a savage.
Okay, I love Art Authority.
That's beautiful.
The other
thing
I like
that painting.
Like
is that Manet?
This is Thomas Barker.
Barker.
You learn more. You learn. You can also share them, like tweet them out, use them like people use GIFs.
I didn't force touch it.
Good.
A 3D touched it.
Force touch it.
It was very 3D.
I love this app. It's not cheap. I mean,
what you pay for it?
It's $9.99.
Oh, but you get all of the art.
This is all the art.
All of the art.
This is all the art.
Every art is in there. Whistler's mother.
Is that?
That actually wasn't his mother. That was his first grade teacher. No, I'm joking. I think it was his mother. George Washington.
You could buy this.
Is that Gilbert Sullivan?
You can't buy that, but you can buy a poster.
Gilbert and Sullivan?
If you wanted to buy a poster.
Friends, Romans, countrymen.
You can watch a little
who,
video.
Who painted that? Actually, I'm curious now.
Ellen Miles.
Gilbert Stuart, not Gilbert Sullivan. I often confuse them.
Gilbert Stuart. And so you could watch a little video about it. Learn
oh, wow. Oh, that's actually really neat. I think that's Andy actually giving you a meditation.
The first talk is about portraiture in the federal period. And I just wanted to start by saying what I have found as we work on...
Oh, you know what? I'm buying it. You just sold me on that.
Look back at these...
I mean, because haven't you ever wanted to...
Looking at the painting is not as valuable to me as having somebody who is an art historian talk about it to me.
How about this George O'Keefe?
This is... Oh, I love Georgia O'Keefe. Mm-hmm.
I love being able to scroll.
Look at that. You can see that.
This is really one of the great uses of the iPad.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, I'm buying this. This is beautiful. Art Authority. $10, and it's a good deal. Yep. Are there a lot of lectures? I mean, is it?
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of videos. I mean, there's a lot of paintings.
Well, no, I want the educational stuff.
You want the educational side? There are very many.
Nice. It does look like, somebody's saying it looks like an old CD-ROM or Laserdisc software ported. It does kind of feel like that.
Art Authority, I think, has been around for a long time.
Marc Chagall, love his stuff. Oh, I love Chagall.
So,
you know, I didn't know he had kind of a realist period. That's interesting. See, I'm learning.
Yes.
I'm learning.
If you like Chagall, perhaps you would also like...
People who like Chagall also like Chagall. And other painters named Mark.
Also like Marcel Duchamp.
I love Duchamp. And Rodin. That's a nude descending a staircase.
I mean, if you hate art, don't get this app. But if you like...
That's my third grader, that last one. Love that painting. No, not that one. That's nice.
That one is nice.
Yeah. That one. That's done with crayons on brown paper, I can tell.
So, yeah.
Nice.
There we go. And
Edvard Munch Museum. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah. Or Munk. You said Munk. You're probably right.
I think it's Munk, but I don't know.
It's probably Munk. Mm-hmm. Not Munch.
You can see what's new.
We call
Munch. And you can also explore actual museums, like figure out how to get to real museums.
Oh, we saw some beautiful beautiful paintings in Budapest.
So great for the iPad Pro, great for schools. I love it.
Klimt. You have any Klimt? I love Klimt.
My friend Gustav.
My buddy Goose. Gus, we called him.
We do. We have lots of
Gus.
Klimt.
Yeah. Did you ever see the woman with the gold woman painting thing? Whatever that movie was. It was wonderful. Gustav Klimt.
I like that one.
Love Klimt. Yeah. I like the Nouveau period. So mine is a little bit more up to date, a little bit more modern. You know, spring training is coming, my friends. The baseball season just around the corner. Sure, we've got the Golden State Warriors playing basketball like no team in history has ever played basketball, and I'm a big fan. But when it really gets down to it, it's the boys of summer that win my heart. And, of course, there is and has been for some years a really great app for people who are into Major League Baseball. And today's the day the new MLB.com app comes out. So I don't know if they've added features or not. You can subscribe. The first thing you're going to want to do is go in here and pick your favorite team. Miami Marlins? No. New York Mets? No. I think I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. So once you've added them, you can decide. And by the way, you got to be careful with this because you can get an awful lot on your Apple Watch and on your iPhone. Notifications when this game starts. Notification when any scoring happens. Notifications when the game's over. News and more. Lead changes. So I'm going to leave these all on, but you probably won't in the long run want to get all of these notifications unless you're a really, really super, super fan. Already we've got a scoreboard from spring training. Here's Major League Baseball news. Videos are fun too. But the reason people are really into this, and by the way, you can narrow it down to just your team, is the game itself. And this, by the way, there's a free version, but if you can listen to the radio broadcast, the game day radio broadcasts on here. And actually, it's a little early, so I don't see any games playing right now. And for an additional fee, which is not cheap, I think it's like $150, you can also see video of the games. Although I think you get classics for free. And so this is a fun time to go back and relive Game 7 of the 2014 World Series, the San Francisco Giants and the Kansas City Royals. Ah, some great memories. Baseball fans, pitchers and catchers have reported it is time for baseball to get underway, and you'd be crazy if you didn't have MLB at bat. And the version I get is the $20 a year for the whole season. That gives you a lot of stuff, including while the game's going on, you get this great kind of you can see every pitch, this box score of what's going on, kind of in real time, animated. That's pretty cool. There's nothing going on right now, so I can't show you what that looks like. But it's a lot of fun. And I'm a stats junkie, so the stats are just fantastic. Lots of stats.
So the app is free, but you need to pay for a subscription, or there's
nothing you get? You know, I can't remember what you get for nothing, what you get for $20, and what you get for $150. I think you get audio for $20. And if you want to watch current games being played right now, you have to subscribe. Next game coming up, the Huskies. Who are the Huskies? Who are the Mocs? I guess they've added some teams. I don't know. You have to subscribe to MLB TV. That's $25 a month. Now, this is the bad news. Blackouts. Most of the games you want to see are your team in your market. They're blacked out. So maybe not the best solution for that. That's why I only pay $20, but I do love to get like the box scores coming in and all that stuff. And the notifications are great. When your team wins, you can throw up
it's
a little.
It's interesting that you were you balked at the $9.99 to see all the art ever made, but yet the baseball you're willing to pay.
Baseball is art, my friend. You get the updates for free. If you want the audio, it's $20 the whole season. That's fine. I'd rather hear the radio guys anyway. And then if you want the TV, you pay $29.99 a month. Mm-hmm. That's a lot, but what the heck?
I like the baseball. That's the one with the touchdowns, right?
Yeah, I like the baseball as well.
I forgot to thank Mike Armstrong, who recommended Art Authority to me, by the way. I want to give credit.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay,
once the season starts, I'll show you my favorite scoring app, the app that you take to the stadium with you and score the game.
Okay.
Save that for later.
All right, I'll show you my favorite art scoring app that you take to the museum and score the art.
2 points for Van Gogh.
I think that's all we have today, Leo Laporte.
Good, because my watch is going crazy.
Yeah, and I've got some news. I've got some news to report.
You better get there. We're going to get some experts on to talk about the Apple announcement, the Apple court order, because that's very good news for Apple. Again, I don't know if it's a bellwether, but I'm sure somebody like Denise Howell can tell us.
Yeah, so we have Owen J.J. Stone.
Oh, he's good. He's so good on law.
Yeah. That's who our main guest is, but we'll get some other guests too. But
I love Owen. I mean,
he's going to talk to us about all the tech news. But we'll get some experts on there as well. And but as far as this show, it's every Monday, 1:30 Pacific time
ish, maybe two.
And you can email me at megan@twit.tv if you've got tips. You can leave us a voicemail. I might even have that number, although I do not have it memorized. But it's somewhere here, 757-504-4723. Leave us voicemails. We love that. Tweet at me. I'm at Megan Maroney. Tweet at Leo.
At Leo Laporte.
Mm-hmm. He likes the tweets.
I ignored your tweet because I did not want to encourage that.
Okay. Well, I don't think you let easy. I got a tweet that says, I know Leo doesn't like tweets. What does that mean?
I like tweets.
Okay.
Cannot lie.
Okay.
I go up and down on Twitter. You know, some days I feel like I can't stand it anymore, but I can never give it up anymore. You know,
I can't quit. Oh, Twitter, I can't quit you.
I can't quit you. I love you and I hate you, and I love you and I hate you.
All right. Well, you guys go enjoy the rest of your day until you come back to Tech News Today.
We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye, everybody.